It's 8 o'clock on Monday, the 16th of August. The headlines this morning: the Taliban are working on forming a new government after seizing power unopposed in Afghanistan's capital. Terrified Afghans are rushing to board.
Welcome to this episode of the Cycling Europe podcast, which is going to be all about cycling the Hebridean Way. Now, you're probably thinking, ooh, hang on a second, didn't he just make a podcast all about cycling the Hebridean Way? Well, yes, I did, but it wasn't based upon my own experiences. That was based upon all those different people I spoke to and who appeared in the podcast. This is going to be my experiences of cycling the Hebridean Way. And tomorrow morning, I set off on the ferry that I can just see on the other side of the harbour here in Oban to do just that, to go over to Barra, then down to Vatasi, the southernmost island of the Outer Hebrides, and then start heading north. Now, just to fill you in on what's happened today, three long train journeys from Halifax to Preston, then Preston to Glasgow, and then finally Glasgow down on the West Highland Line to here at Oban, which is, I think, probably the, well, certainly in the next couple of weeks, it's probably the busiest place I'm going to encounter. So, getting a little bit dark, it's a bit grey, it's not raining, but there are plenty of people milling around. I wouldn't say it's busy, but it's certainly not deserted. There's the ferry across the harbour, lots of bits and pieces going on, lots of shops. There's a kind of a rotunda on the hill behind me. Might explore that tomorrow morning if I get a chance, but it's just nice to have finally arrived after such a long day of travelling on the west coast of Scotland. Not here for long, because tomorrow morning, as I say, set off on the ferry to go over to Castle Bay and to start cycling the Hebridean Way. Excellent, thank you.
Just toast. Cheers. On the light if you want to.
Toast, yeah? Okay, excellent, thanks. I can heartily recommend the youth hostel in Oban. It's a very comfortable place and a good night's sleep. Only 7 o'clock, so I was up quite early. But perhaps it was those 2 pints of beer I had last night after the long journey. And I've just come outside to sit on the very pebbly, well, is it a beach? I suppose it is a beach, yes. Lots of seaweed, green, brown, squidgy, quite smelly seaweed. Not a bad smell. And a few seagulls bobbing up and down on the water, some of them venturing into the seaweed. And now, far clearer than I could see last night, because it was getting a bit dark when I arrived, I can see the town of Oban, the port of Oban, and the main difference between last night and this morning is that there are now 2 Caledonian McBrayne ferries, Calmac ferries. So one of them is the one, presumably, I'm using to get to the island of Barra at 1 o'clock today, but as to which one, I'm not sure. It's quite cloudy, a bit of a breeze, but it's dry. And according to the weather forecast, it's going to stay fairly dry. It's quite a wide vista you can see here. If I turn to my left, I can see the town with the ferries and the shops and the bars and the fishing boats. But if I pan round to my right, there's a small flotilla of pleasure boats. It's not too dissimilar to what you might expect if you went to a place like Dartmouth or somewhere in Devon. Very pretty. And then the coast heads off down into a little gap beyond a buoy in the distance, and then again more rocky outcrops. And then to my far right, not the islands that I'm going to, but the mainland, and in the very distance, perhaps one of the islands of the Inner Hebrides. And that's the direction I'm going to be heading in later. A little bit out of breath walking up the steep roads and even steeper flights of stairs to a place called McCaig's Tower. And I should, hopefully be able to see it in a few moments. There's a car park. You can see it very clearly from the town centre, but it seems to have disappeared. Ooh, hang on. Ah, here we go. Kind of hidden. And would you believe it, another flight of steps, alternative to steps, footpath. Now I can cope with the steps. Right, and here we go. It is a bit like a Colosseum, albeit a Colosseum just with the outside wall made of what looks like good old Scottish granite. And the plaque says, erected in 1900 by John Stuart McCaig, art critic and philosophical essayist and banker, urban. That's a bit of a combination, isn't it? Art critic, philosopher and banker. Now the story goes, he died before it was finished. And he wanted an inner tower to be built. I'm now within the walls. But his inheritors, presumably his family, thought that they had better ideas of things to do with all his money. So they didn't build the inner tower. And the bronze statues that he wanted erected to him never got erected. I was just thinking when I was wandering around this tower that it would be a fantastic place if you're a teenager just wanting to hang around. And there are what looked like a collection of rubbish in the windows, but actually it's not rubbish, they're painted stones, quite beautiful painted stones as well. And they're all on a theme of independence for Scotland. So I've got one there, painted kind of a greenish colour, yes, with the salt air on it. Yes, yes, Scotland's future in Scotland's hands. Makes you wonder whether perhaps Oban is a hotbed of independence for Scotland. Well, good luck to them. And I found the viewpoint looking out over Oban itself. It's a little bit worrying that the harbour is now empty of ferries. I'm sure my ferry is at 1 o'clock. But there are no more ferries left in the harbour. You can see one heading out into the open sea. Ah, there is another one coming back. Perhaps that's mine. Perhaps that's the one that heads over to the Isle of Barra later this afternoon. Hopefully. The museum appears to have opened. Let's go and have a look.
Have you been with us before, or was it the first time?
No, I've got a few hours to kill while I'm waiting for the ferry, so I thought I'd come in and have a wander. But I've read what it says in the rough guide.
So you're over to Mull, or are you going further out?
I'm going to Barra.
Barra.
To cycle the Hebridean way.
Hebridean, yeah.
Is Caledonian McBrain, is it an urban company? Is it based in Oban?
No. Where is it? It's a public company owned by the government.
Well, I'm on the Barra one, at 1 o'clock. Yes. So,
good for you.
Well, enjoy your cycle up the West of Miles.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I like that. It'll be windy. It's always windy there.
Oh, people always tell me about the wind. So, if you're a cyclist and you don't like the wind or the rain, you need to buy a car.
I think one of the feelings of folk going out to the islands, etc., is plan ahead. If you're planning staying or having a meal, even book ahead, and especially on a Sunday.
And
further north.
Well, I've got my tent and I've got my food. I'm camping on the beach at Battersea tonight. Hopefully.
Oh, well, good for you.
So,
enjoy all the rest.
Okay, thank you. Cheers, thank you. See ya. Well, that's the unmistakable sound of a ferry. A large diesel engine, no doubt, underneath me, powering the ship as we go across the water from Oban over to Barra, Castle Bay in Barra. Lots of people had said, oh, there'll be lots of cyclists on the ferry. Well, that's the case. There are lots of cyclists, but actually it's a really quiet ferry. It's actually strangely quiet. Probably, well, it seems like there's just as many cyclists, probably about 10, 15 of us, as there are people with their cars. It's probably a bit of an exaggeration, but even so, very, very quiet inside. And the weather's continuing to hold. The boat is rocking up and down, which is quite nice, because when you're trying to sleep, it kind of gently rocks you to sleep. But the weather is pretty good. I can see still large patches of blue sky above me. We're now in the open sea bit after having followed the mainland and the Isle of Mull to our south for probably about a third of the journey. We're now on the bit which takes us into the middle of the ocean, and we arrive in Barra in approximately about an hour and a half, I think, at about 5:45. Then the plan is to head off south to Vatasi, not too far, to wild camp on the beach or near the beach. So for that reason, amongst many others, I'm hoping that the good weather of today continues for my, well, nearly my first foray into wild camping. I've arrived, finally, after three trains, one overnight stay in Oban, a long ferry ride this afternoon. I'm now on Vatasi, the start of the Hebridean Way, and I've just found a place for my tent on the edge of the cliff, well, not quite the cliff, on the sand dunes, but it's right at the top. And I might regret that decision later on, I think, if it continues or if it blows a gale like it was doing a few minutes ago. It seems to have calmed down a bit. But the tent's erected. Fabulous view. That beach, wow. The beach at Vatasi, where I am, is just as people promised. White, Caribbean-style, sandy beach. In fact, I think it's Shell Beach, isn't it? Absolutely beautiful. A few small boats bobbing in the bay, and very few houses. There's one I can see on the headland up there in front of me. Looks like a nice house. And then there's a community centre behind me, or about 100 metres behind me, where there's a shower and things like that. But wow, this is a hell of a place to start your journey. Absolutely beautiful. I'm sure I'll say that more than once over the next few days, but this is stunningly beautiful. And didn't cost a penny. Well, didn't cost a penny in terms of staying here overnight. Wild camping. It's only my second night of wild camping ever. First one was up at Nordkap back in 2015, where it wasn't really wild camping because, well, lots of people were doing it. And to be fair, tonight perhaps isn't quite in the category of wild camping, because there are a few people dotted around in their tents. A few of the people from the ferry, for example. There's a bloke next door with his three kids, only about 20 metres away, if that. But it feels like wild camping. It feels like wild camping to me, anyway. And I'm so relieved to have got here. I've celebrated with a little dash of whiskey. Might have another one in a few seconds. And, tomorrow, Pootle down the road, not very far, to the post office, where the official start of the Hebridean Way is. And then set off. The weather has been changeable. We've already had a bit of rain, got a bit wet cycling down here from the ferry at Barra, at Castle Bay. Bit of sunshine, lots of wind, overcast, blue sky, not blue sky. I can see why they say four seasons in one day, because that's pretty much what we've had in the first hour of being on the island. Anyway, it's now nearly 8 o'clock, no mobile phone signal, which again is you know, quite nice. No distractions, no Twitter, Facebook, can't post anything to the website. So what am I going to do? Well, I'll look at the view for a while, and then I shall kind of think about my journey tomorrow, which is from Vattersea up to the top of Barra. No further. I'm in no rush on this journey. Hopefully I'll see a plane land, if I'm there in time, on the beach at Barra, and then catch the ferry on, what day are we today? Tuesday, Wednesday, on Thursday morning. So that's the plan for the next few days. In the meantime, where's that whisker? Now, I've woken up. I say I've woken up. I've woken up for probably the 20th time during the night. I know that because I had lots of dreams last night. Lots of dreams. Lots of people involved. And they say you only remember the dream just before you woke up. So the fact that I've remembered lots of dreams is presumably because I woke up lots of times. Well, I can remember waking up lots of times. Now, I have made a rookie error. I wouldn't care, but I'm not a rookie. And I've just discovered that the camping gas bottle that I bought from Decathlon a couple of weeks ago, it has a different fitting to my screw-on little contraption for burning the gas, which is a real pain, because that means I can't have my coffee and I can't have my porridge. The first day, no coffee, no porridge. In terms of the weather, well, again, it's a bit similar to yesterday, a bit blowy, quite overcast, but the sun, well, it's kind of hidden behind the cloud, but you can certainly see where it is, because it's shining brightly in one particular position. So I remain hopeful that we're going to have a decent day's weather, and if I grab a bit of grass and throw it in the air, then it all disappears off in the direction in which I'm going to be cycling. Probably sooner rather than later now because of the breakfast situation. Now before I set off though, before I turn back to go to Castle Bay along the Hebridean Way, I need to find the official start of the Hebridean Way, which I think is a little bit further down the road, just past the post office. I've packed up my stuff off the campsite, well, campsite, the wild camping spot by the dunes or in the dunes above the beach. Beautiful beach. Took a stroll down there earlier. They really are as beautiful as people say. And I've come right down to the end of Vattersea. Well, not quite the end, because you can't get right down to the southern tip without a hike across the fields, I don't think. But as far as the road goes, and I was expecting to find a post office and a sign saying, hey, this is the start of the Hebridean Way. I haven't found it, and there's nobody around to ask. There's quite a few buildings around here, modern, fairly ugly houses, bungalows we might call them. Some are prefabricated. There's one very old derelict building abandoned on the hill. It looks a bit more dramatic, a bit more Wuthering Heights kind of thing. Well, I think I'm at the start of the Hebridean Way. I'm going to imagine I am. I've so far cycled 27 kilometres, according to my odometer. So, wherever I end up, at the end of the Isle of Lewis, the butt of Lewis, just remember to take 27 kilometres off it. Right, here we go. So, Lewis, here we come. I finally feel as I've left the urban area that is Castle Bay. Urban area is perhaps not the right word, because it's barely urban. I think it passes a medium-sized village in most places. But I had to go back there to, well, find some breakfast, but also to find a gas bottle. And that's what I've now done. So I've rectified my gas problem. Hopefully I can cook something tonight. And I'm now, well, you can hear in the background the crashing waves on the beaches. I've already been only been doing this for half a day, and I'm already a bit blasé about the beaches. I think this is the third or fourth that I've passed so far, and they're all just as beautiful as each other. How many times have I used the word beautiful so far? Stop using it, think of a different adjective. The landscape is... I'm hesitating. It's not spectacular, but it's very, very attractive. Very pretty. Very rolling as well. Vatersea was probably quite rocky. More rocky than here on Barra. But here it's kind of almost a hobbit-like landscape with just very small hills and dimples in the land almost. And somebody made a comment in the podcast, the previous one, about there being lots more nature, lots more flora, fauna, animals in terms of the variety than you see elsewhere. And I'm beginning to understand that because, well, I'm no bird watcher, but I've seen plenty of different birds and they swoop down by the road when you're passing by in quite dramatic fashion. It takes some getting used to. They're not attacking me, they're attacking the maca, or what they can find in the maca, which is the grass and wildflower band that runs around all of these islands, I think. But yeah, the other thing to get used to is the traffic. There's another car coming. This is a single file road. But there are plenty of passing places, so you don't feel threatened at all by the fact that you've got an approaching car, or more likely a 4x4, either in front of you or behind. You just kind of move into the next passing place. And they're barely, well, 50 metres apart, if that. And it's brightened up. Can't see any blue sky, it's very cloudy, but there's good visibility. And, well, I think the wind is actually blowing a bit. Yeah, it's kind of from the west today, so it's neither helping nor hindering me, which is nice. And it's still relatively mild. It's not cold at all. And the dreaded midges have yet to appear. Thank goodness. Long may it continue. Hiya.
Hi.
Hi, just out of interest, I'm passing. Is there another plane due to land today, or is that it?
According to that timetable, I don't know, but I sort of be standby for one seat.
How many planes do you normally have in a day?
It depends what day it is.
Right.
I know that sounds a bit contrary, but sometimes we have 3 planes a day, and sometimes we have 2.
Yeah. And how many have you had so far today?
We've had 2 today, yeah. But we might have another one. I'll just double check for you. No, it appears that it's just 2 today, which is not the timetable says, but yeah, 2 today. So no more today.
Yeah, okay. And tomorrow morning? Because I'm actually camping up at the end up here.
All right, so Thursday we've got one in at 11:30, yeah. Then one in at 12.
I'll have missed it. Okay, not to worry. I did see the one that just left, just as it took off. It looked as though actually it was. Does it take off through the water?
No, there might be water standing on the beach, but it doesn't take off through the sea.
Right. It did look as though it was kind of going through the water. But, okay, not
okay.
To worry.
Thank you.
See ya. The day is continuing to go very well. I may not have been able to see a plane land at Barra Airport. I just missed one taking off as I was approaching around the curve of the bay. The plane on the beach had its lights on and then it took off into the distance. Wasn't that close, but hey, I've ticked the box of saying I've seen a plane take off on Britain's only airport on a beach. And I'm back by the sea, back on a beach, as you can probably hear. This time at Scurrival Point, I've purposefully made a decision on this trip not to travel massive distances every day, just relatively short distances. So today I think I've done 33 kilometres. Most of it on the Hebridean Way, but I've kind of deviated off when I've needed to. For example, when I went back into Castle Bay this morning, and this afternoon, early this afternoon, when I came down to Scurrival Point in order to find this campsite, Scurrival campsite, which is just amazing. It's fairly rudimentary, it's nothing but a field and a small house with facilities, washing, drying, cooking, etc. But I was welcomed by this very friendly chap from England, from somewhere down south. I think he said he was from Southampton. And he said Angus will be round later, his mate Angus will be round to collect the £5. So I pitched the tent and had a little snooze. And then lo and behold, Angus turned up, had a nice chat with him. He's an older guy, told me he was from South Uist and told me about his large family. I think he said he had 9 brothers and 3 sisters. And he said when he was born, probably back in the, 40s, 50s, that was the norm to have very big families around here. And he said he's really happy on Barra, where he lives now. And he said he probably hasn't been back to South Uist more than 39 times in 39 years. Perhaps he goes back for Christmas or something. But I'm now sitting by this beach, which is just below where the campsite is. And again, it's idyllic. It's, the sea is so beautiful, so clear. You don't get this really, well, far as I can remember, anywhere else in Britain. It really is like the Caribbean. And in terms of the temperature, well, it's not far off being Caribbean. Okay, perhaps not 30, 40 degrees, but in the sun, it's a nice, warm, I'd say, 17, 18, 19, 20 degrees. So the ferry is booked for tomorrow. It's only a 40-minute ferry, about 11 o'clock, so there's no rushing heading off tomorrow morning. If the weather continues like this, then it'll just be a nice little ride back along the cove, past the airport, to the ferry, and then continue north. So far, so very good. And just as I speak, there's a man coming into shot in the distance on a paddleboard. Or is it a surf? Is he going to dive in? He's a brave person, because although that water looks Caribbean, I've got a sneaking suspicion that the temperature of the sea is far from Caribbean. He's knelt down. Is he going to go in? Not by the looks of it, unless he falls in. I'll report back later. There's not a hint of wind in the air, which I think is the first since I arrived, certainly on the Outer Hebrides 2 days ago. It's now Thursday, so the second full day of cycling, I suppose. The downside of there being no wind is that the midges have appeared, not in any great way, but for the first time I've had my insect repellent spray out and in action. And the first thing I ought to do today is to retrace my steps back round the bay from Scurrival Point to the ferry terminal where I went yesterday. I went yesterday just to kind of check out the times, and I bought myself a ticket yesterday for the ferry at 10 past 11. So that's the plan for this morning. Got to go past the airport again on the beach, although as I found out yesterday, there aren't any planes landing until after the ferry has left. Ooh, in the distance I can see a green van and no passing place. I'm just going to stop there. There's the van. Seems to be a stretch of road with very few passing places. But on my right is, it's a rocky cove. So an interesting contrast. That's looking towards the west. Or is it the south? Who knows? But I'm heading north to the next island, or the next islands rather. The first one I'm going to get to at the other end of the ferry is Eriskay, very small island. I was reading last night, it's where Bonnie Prince Charlie first arrived in Scotland. And then it's a case of cycling along the causeway that links Eriskay with the next main island, which is South Uist. And that's where I'm going to be spending tonight, although where I'm actually going to be camping tonight, I presume I'm going to be camping, has yet to be decided. Watch this space, or keep listening to this space. That was the sound of a couple of motorists just waiting patiently. I have to say the motorists are generally excellent in terms of being patient on these single track roads. Lots of passing places, as I've mentioned already, I think. Right, I'm now on South Uist. Caught the ferry from Northern Barra up to Eriskay, very small island. The ferry was full of cyclists, must have been 15 of us, perhaps even 20. I'm glad I bought my ticket in advance yesterday. It was a bit touch and go, I thought, as to whether they'd all get on, but they did. A nice 40-minute crossing, a bit breezy, but still no rain. And the wind today has continued to be very, very slight. I've got a sense it's blowing now from the east. Perhaps even the southeast, which might be quite helpful for me. And I'm on, as I said, South Uist. Again, it's a very distinct place. Eriskay, very small. There was a hill coming out of the ferry, bit of concrete by the sea. And then, once you got over the hill and down the other side, that was basically Eriskay done. Famous, as I mentioned, for Bonnie Prince Charlie, as I climb a little hill. And the AM politician, or the SS politician, which was the boat that sank with 250,000 bottles of whiskey on board and was the inspiration for Whiskey Galore, which was set on Barra. And film there. Then you come across a long causeway. It's only opened, I think, about 20 years ago. And you suddenly arrive on the island of North Uist. Lots of sheep. In fact, as I speak, there is a traffic jam of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, about 15 sheep in front of me. And they're blocking the road. Hey sheep. Oop. I've got a few of them moving. I suppose in fairness they've got more rights to using this road than I am. Ah, they've all headed right. Almost like a flock of sheep. Just beside a rather modern looking but phenomenally ugly church. That's the other thing that is different about South Uist is that we're now in Catholic country. And that's definitely a Catholic church. Right, Our Lady of Sorrows Church it is. And I've reached the top of that little hill. Oh, but yeah, South Hewis, very different. You can really tell you're on a much bigger island. Looking to the east, the northeast especially, there's a great big hill. Nope, it's a mountain. And that is, from my map, that's about 600 metres tall. So it's a significant mountain. But then to the left, on the other side of the road, there's just this plain, far, far wider than the plain that you get by the sea in Barra, dotted with little houses and industrial units, and the subdued browns, purples, yellows of the Maca or the Macaire. I must learn how to pronounce that properly. Now my goal for today is actually not South Hewis, it's to get onto the next island, which is Benbecula. And I've just, well, I refer back to my original plan earlier. My original plan said that I would perhaps stay at the campsite called Otter's Bay, I think it's called. So I gave them a ring about 10 minutes ago and somebody had just cancelled and I'm booked on there for tonight, which is a bit of a relief because, hey, it plays on your mind if you don't have accommodation booked, even if we are in the home of wild camping. And the weather should hopefully hold. I did look at the weather forecast this morning at the campsite back in Scurryville Point. Ooh, I've got to turn left. Right, I'm turning left. This is on a little bit of a detour, but hey, got plenty of time. The sign's turning me left, which makes sense because that's where it turns left on the road, on the map rather, towards the coast and across this plain. Yeah, the weather doesn't look brilliant for, well, tomorrow and Saturday, and then it improves next week. So tomorrow might be a rather wet day, but for the time being it's absolutely fine, almost perfect cycling conditions. Could just do with a bit more blue sky. So come on, blue sky, where are you? Yesterday was really a wonderful ride. I'm struggling to think of better days of cycling I've ever had. Not just on this trip, not just in recent years, but ever. Over the last 10 years, it was wonderfully flat, which, you know, sometimes isn't a blessing because you've got to keep cycling all the time. But the landscape was so dramatic. It was the mountains to the east and the plain across which I was cycling to the left, to the west of the island, and just really inspiring, calming, beautiful, pretty, serene cycling and scenery. What a wonderful place. Of the islands that I've visited so far, certainly South Uist has got to be by far the best. It's the biggest that I've visited so far, but it kind of, I don't know, it was almost because it was unexpected. It's not at the end of the chain of islands of the Outer Hebrides. It doesn't have a port, I don't think. It doesn't immediately strike me as being famous for any reason. It was just a wonderful place to cycle. Yeah, fantastic. Anyway, I didn't actually stay on South Uist last night. I continued slightly over the causeway to Benbecula and I stayed in a campsite called Otter's Edge campsite, which is kind of a bit like a French municipal campsite, but that is in my book a good thing. Stayed there overnight, in fact stayed here overnight because that's where I am now, and I'm now contemplating the day ahead. It's Friday, it's going to be day 5 of this trip, albeit only really day 3 of the cycling, and I'm going to continue north, of course, across Benbecula and in the direction of North Uist, but I'm not sure how much progress I'm going to make today. The blot on the landscape is the weather, and it's been promising to rain for a few days now, and the current forecast says it will start raining in this part of the world mid to late afternoon today, and then continue overnight and peter out tomorrow midday-ish, or certainly at some point during tomorrow. Now, that would make, or it would make sense for me to make sure I'm not cycling while it's raining, so I might not go very far today. There are a couple of campsites a little bit further up Benbecula. I'm not going to get the ferry today over to Harris, that's certainly a no-no. I'm going to have to look carefully at the map when I get into a place where I can get a 3G, 4G signal, just to check out the campsites. Obviously there's the wild camping option, which I could look at. Oh, there's a big, but what's that? Couldn't, is that an owl? When I arrived here last night, the owner said, have you seen any owls? They come out during the day. Yeah, what a sight. I mean, the amazing sights of wildlife here are fantastic. The birds especially, you see such an array of different birds that I don't think I've ever seen anywhere before. Are you a bird watcher?
Not a very good one.
Oh, right.
Yes. Did you see the short-eared owl?
I was just looking at it there, and I just, there it is, look. Wonderful. Just by that building there.
Yes.
But I saw you with your binoculars yesterday, and I thought perhaps you were a bird watcher.
I am, but it is really special to see a short-eared owl.
Elsewhere they come out during the night. Owls are famously nocturnal, aren't they?
Oh, well, that's not the only one that's out in the day.
Right.
You'll see a lot of others. In the morning light, short-eared owl are rare. I think I'm going to go back to Balranald and see if I can hear a corncrake. But, because I've had a list of things to see, and this is my destination,
but okay.
I had a car problem. So I'm delayed by 3 days, and I have to go back that way.
Right.
Tomorrow.
Where have you come from originally?
I started off in Norfolk.
Yeah.
Then spent 10 days in the Cairngorms because I wanted to walk in the native forest. So I wandered around there, and then I always wanted to come to Benbecula because of the shipping forecast. I just love the sound of the place, the name. I just always wanted to. So
I have a similar feeling with Uist.
Do you?
Yes. Every time I think of Uist, I think shipping forecast.
Do you?
Yes.
Are we shipping forecast geeks?
Well, I don't listen to it now, but you used to have to listen to it. Now you can opt out, can't you? But unless you listen to Long Wave. But it's stuck in the memory.
Where are you going now?
I'm following the Hebridean Way, so I'm heading down here. Literally around the coast, really. And then up to, this is Benbecula. North Uist is the next one.
Yes.
And then I'm going to get the ferry. I'm not going to cycle very far today, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to kind of sit out the weather. And then get the ferry, perhaps tomorrow. I need to check the times.
Well, you'll be all right, I think, as a bike foot passenger. They are absolutely chock-a-block, fully booked, no wait list possibilities for cars.
Yeah, yeah. I got that impression yesterday at the ferry down here, where it was chocker.
I feel very, very lucky to have been able to rebook 3 days after, when I got the car fixed. Three days later, I feel really lucky. There was a cancellation on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The day today is, what day is it, Friday?
It's Friday today.
So
yeah. Yeah, perhaps I need to look into the, when I get a mobile signal, to look into the, that's, because that's the last hurdle, really, in terms of getting up to the Butt of Lewis, is the next ferry.
My impression is strongly that foot and bikes are okay.
Yeah.
Now, foot definitely is going to be okay. Bikes, I guess that they've got a finite number, but there are cyclists, but you're an intrepid one, you're a real one. A lot of the cyclists have got their bikes on the back of their camper vans.
I've never been described as an intrepid cyclist before, so thank you.
Oh, I think you're intrepid, my God, on these... So, following the Hebridean Way, does that mean that you don't have to go on these roller coaster dreadful roads?
Just paused about 5 kilometres into today's ride. Benbecula is very different again from South Uist yesterday and the previous islands. In fact, I can see the mountains of South Uist in the distance, and they actually look pretty impressive from here. You can see how they stretch along the length of that particular island in the chain. Impressive stuff, and they really do stand out from the rest of the landscape, which is predominantly flat. Now, talked about the weather earlier. I think I might have a solution. I've booked myself in tonight to stay in something called the Tractor Shed, which is on South Uist, and they do camping huts with beds in them, and hopefully that's not too far away. It's about 40-45 kilometers, so I should be there before the rain starts to fall later this afternoon, hopefully, touch wood, etc. It'll also give me the opportunity of sorting out the whole logistic of the ferry to Harris, because that is the last thing that concerns me, getting that ferry. And as I was reminded of this morning by a woman on the campsite, it is a busy ferry, especially if you're in a car, but you know, you can never be too careful. Even when you're on a bike, they may say, no, you can't get on my ferry. So I've just paused here, next to what looks like, it's definitely a church, and it's got a little courtyard, almost like a monastery, a little bit run down, overgrown, not sure whether it's open or not, but there's an interesting plaque on the outside. It says, in memory of the men who took part in the Nunton Farm land raid, Benbecula 1923. This is a land where there were lots of issues with lands, people being turfed off the land by the landowners, I think over the course of 200 years really. 1923, perhaps they were, well, trying to reclaim some of the land. There's some good Scottish names on there: Macmillan, Buchanan, McPherson, McSween, MacDonald, Campbell, Macaulay. Yeah, some quality Scottish names. And I've just paused here. That's an interesting aside, because I've got a 4G signal and I'm currently uploading yesterday's video, which, well, it's probably irrelevant for this podcast, but it is an issue when you're trying to blog and shoot video, edit video and upload it in a place like the Outer Hebrides. So it's one of the nice things is it's off the grid for much of the time, but when you do get a 4G signal, you've got to seize it with enthusiasm, which is what I'm doing at the moment, and I'm just uploading a video. So the rest of today, hopefully in the dry, up to North Uist, which is where I'm staying tonight in the Tractor Shed, hopefully not next to a tractor. Just had an interesting experience cycling past Benbecula Airport. It's really the first urban area that I've come to since leaving Oban, I think. Strange, because it's so out of place, but it's got all the things that you expect from your normal British urban area. It's all a bit run down, all a bit scruffy. Modern housing estate, in desperate need of some investment. Police station with a couple of cars. I haven't seen one of those since leaving Castle Bay. There was even a rather drab shed of a building, which turned out to be a branch of the McLennan supermarket. I went inside for a sandwich, and when I got inside, it was like Waitrose inside. It was I was almost transported back to the home counties of England. And to top it all off, just to emphasise its urban credentials, there was a chap with a box full of bottles walking to the bottle bank. He nodded and said hello, and then a few metres further along, there was an old guy waiting for the bus in the bus shelter, swigging a bottle of whiskey. Hey, it's good to know that the Outer Hebrides can do urban areas just as well as the rest of Britain. Well done, Benbecula Airport, and the little community that surrounds it. Wherever you go in the world, and you tell people about where you're going, they'll usually tell you something. It's a bit of a cliche, a stereotype about where you're going. So for example, if you say, oh, I'm going to Scandinavia, they'll say, oh, it's expensive. Numerous people have told me about the Outer Hebrides being windy, and there's no denying the fact that it can be windy. But up until this morning, really, the wind had been fairly light and it had been pushing me rather than fighting against me. However, this morning, as I made my way around the coast of Benbecula and over the island of Grimsey, come back to that in a second, for the first time I've been fighting the wind, and it's been blowing from the east, and I've been travelling to the east, which means that me and the wind have been in conflict. Oh, and it is tiring. I feel more tired after an hour and a half, 2 hours of cycling this morning than I did yesterday, cycling 4 or 5 hours along the whole length of South Uist. Anyway, the wind does blow, I can attest to that. I'm about to turn and change direction. I'm about to start making my way along the southern flank of South Uist, which means that I'm going to be cycling to the west, which is where the wind is blowing to, which should put a smile on my face fairly soon.
So these are lugworms.
Yeah, right, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice and fat.
Yeah, yeah, these are pretty good. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to move to another area for ragworm. Right. Lugworm like the kind of sandy bottom.
Yeah.
Ragworm prefer it a little bit gravelly and shingly.
Yeah.
So there's a place at the other end of the causeway I'll go and get ragworm, because depending on what I'm fishing for, if I'm fishing for rays or tope, I'll use lugworm and sand eels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I'm fishing for thornbacks, shark and that, I'll use the ragworm, right, with okay. Squid.
Sounds scientific.
So, no. But as I say, a couple of years. I usually go once a year to Norway with my friend, and then this year we're going to fish the south end of Skye. There's some big thorn banks being reported over there. So we're going to go and fish there for a week.
Yeah, right, fantastic.
But we only do catch and release. We don't keep anything or kill anything. It's all catch and release.
Right.
You know, and anything we get of any size, we record it and report it. You know, so it's part of our sort of involuntary sustainability kind yeah. of study, you know.
Do you see many otters here? So the sign
yeah,
down
yeah,
there.
Plenty. Best place to see otters here at this time of year is actually Loch Skeeport, which you've passed coming up from down the south end.
Right.
You're past Grogery Lodge, which is the hunt shooting lodge. On the right hand side of there, there's a big reserve called Loch Drubeg.
Mm.
And then away down the bottom of Loch Drubeg, there's Loch Skeeport. That's the best place to see the
right,
otters.
Yeah.
My wife used to run a chill care place in Benbecula, and it was called Little Otters because we have what's called a leaky going past the house, which drains all the lochs, all the overflow, and the otters used to come up and down there every year.
Yeah, right.
You know, so you'll see them. They're all through the island.
Well, I'll keep an eye out.
Kind of early morning, sort of dawn and dusk, your best time. You just get yourself sat somewhere and just. So, you know, you'll see the big dog otters coming in first.
Right, okay.
And 9 times out of 10, you'll be sitting watching the water and you'll hear a kind of behind you.
Yeah.
And it's usually one of the hen otters sitting on a rock with a salmon.
Right, okay.
Or fish, you know, of some sort.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be really still and really quiet. The slightest little movement and they're away. Like, you
good
know.
Impersonation then.
You know, so.
No, brilliant. I'll look out for that, thank you.
Yeah.
So that chap, Chippy, has managed to sort out my problems with the geography in terms of working out where Grimsey starts and finishes. I've been fighting the wind, seemingly all morning, but I knew that as soon as I was over Grimsey, then I would start cycling with the wind rather than against it, which is what I'm about to do. But Grimsey is a very small island, probably the smallest of the islands that the Hebridean Way crosses. And I think, right, I'm about to start crossing it. But now I've gone over the first causeway. There should be another one further north. And once I'm over that one, it should be plain sailing, because it'll take me in a westerly direction, and that's where the wind is blowing to, hopefully.
Hiya. Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, very well, thank you.
Are you new arrival?
Yeah, I've booked it this morning.
Okay. I'm a bit early probably, but...
No, you're fine, everything's ready. What's the name?
Andrew Sykes.
Oh. Andrew, so I just usually leave things on the board here, Andrew, and it kind of works like this.
Number three.
And bathroom number three. Okay. So bathroom number three is in the building, so I might as well show you where that is.
Yeah, just brilliant, nice. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So I've been camping, but I thought, it might be a good idea to be under
refuge of the plague.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
And then the rest of the week, it's just going to be glorious sunshine.
Apparently, yeah.
So,
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, me too.
I bet. Yeah. So this is you.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's Friday morning, 8 a.m. and just spent the night at the Tractor Shed, which is a place on the coast of southern South Uist, and consists of about 7 or 8 little wooden sheds. You might even describe them as a chalet, but they've got turf roofs. The insulation isn't great, but they're nice and snug and warm because all the heat is kept in from the top, with that turf on the top. A few gaps in the doors, but that didn't seem to affect how nice and warm it was last night. Right, so what is the plan for today? Well, the main thing is to get the ferry from Burnaree, which is a little bit further north, over to Harris. That's the final ferry of the trip before I get to the Butte of Lewis. Obviously there'll be another ferry to get back to the mainland, and I managed to book that just with the dodgy Wi-Fi connection of the Tractor Shed last night, all £3.80 I think it was, and that sets off about 1:30. So I've now got, well, I've got more than enough time to get up to Burnaree and get the ferry. I'm going to be taking the coastal road, which is the Hebridean Way Road. And again, the weather seems to be playing ball. It did rain overnight. It did rain quite heavily last night, even before I went to bed. It was raining quite hard, but that seems to have stopped. The weather forecast, well, it's more positive than negative. There is a chance of rain today, but after today, hopefully, it should be good, cloudy, sometimes sunny weather, with practically no rain whatsoever for the remainder of next week. Obviously things change, and that certainly could change. Now the other thing I need to do this morning is actually pedal hard enough to work off the food I ate last night. I had a bit of a Scottish feast when it comes to the food. I bought some smoked salmon, peat smoked salmon, from the smokehouse just down the road here on South Uist. And I went to the supermarket and I thought, what can go well with that? Well, I bought some oat cakes, Scottish oat cakes, some Baxter's pickled onions, some tomatoes, not from Scotland, I hasten to add, and also some Scottish cheese. And I ate all that last night, all washed down with some Skye beer. And then for dessert, some, well, they were called scones. They were very light scones made by the McLean's local bakery. So I'm feeling a little bit lethargic this morning, but I need to get on the bike, get cycling, burn off those calories, and hopefully catch the ferry at 1:30. It's wonderfully quiet on these roads, which means that in a few moments a car will no doubt pass. And to my left, I can see in the distance, beyond the dunes and the grass, sitting on top of the sea, is the dinosaur-like spine of St Kilda. There is a viewing point somewhere to my right, but it's only about 100 metres high. But I can definitely see St Kilda there on my left. It's It's obviously a haven for birds. And it is quite a dramatic, if small, addition to the skyline. Oh yes, in fact, there are two dinosaurs. I don't know if they're both St Kilda, or one of them is. But you can see the rocks just jutting up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them there. And then further to the right, a bit close to the shore, 1, 2, 3, and a little tiny one on the end. So two great big dinosaurs, motionless in the sea, no doubt covered in birds, darting up and down, fishing, eating, breeding, squawking. Oh, and a massive dune has just come to obliterate the view. Let's see if I can remember all the islands that I've cycled through. Starting with Vatasay in the south, then Barra, then up to Eriskay, over the causeway to South Uist, Benbecula to Grimsay, took the deviation down to the port, Grimsay into North Uist. And that's where I am now, continuing to cycle around basically the coast, the west coast of North Uist. And I have to say, I think it's my favourite bit yet. It's kind of, it's everything that you expect the Outer Hebrides to be. It's a lot more remote. There are far fewer settlements, although they're still dotted here, there and everywhere. It's a bit more rugged, isolated. You've got vistas which are not really interrupted by many buildings in many directions. You've got old ruined buildings clinging on to the edge of the cliff occasionally. It's difficult to tell whether they're just derelict, relatively modern buildings or ancient castles or whatever. And the whole landscape is dotted with small inlets of water. Are they lochs? Probably not lochs, but a very watery landscape. The Macaire is almost everywhere here. Very, very purple. But the land is still rocky. And lots of animals that really you associate with the Outer Hebrides as well. The sheep, lots of the birds, and for the first time actually, I think, those iconic Highland cattle that used to make it onto the front, in fact they may still do, of the Rough Guide to the Highlands and Islands. So if you're looking for the Outer Hebrides that you've probably got in your imagination, then a good place to start would be North Uist. And I suspect, he said as he gets to the top of a hill, I suspect Harris and Lewis, when I get to them over the next few days, are going to be more similar to this than they were to the islands further south. Thanks for listening to part one of this two-part podcast about my journey along the length of the Hebridean Way. Part two of the podcast will be published on Sunday, the 19th of September 2021. And in that second part of episode 39, you'll be able to hear how I got on crossing the final two islands of the Hebridean chain, Harris and Lewis, as well as my return journey visits to Stornoway and Ullapool. If you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please consider taking a few moments to rate or even review the Cycling Europe podcast on the platform where you're listening. Remember that you can now support the website and the podcast by visiting cyclingeurope.org/support. Thanks if you do. And if you'd like to get in touch with your own cycle touring story, you can email podcast@cyclingeurope.org. So don't forget to tune in again on September 19th. In the meantime, thanks for listening and happy cycling.